Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Paranjana becomes a woman in his next life. Text number 49. Evam Balabhanti Bala Vipinne Nugitha Bhattim Aditya Tariyo Bharatu Rudat Yashun Yavartayat. Evam Vilapanti Bhalha Ipne Rugitha Patim Atita Pariyobatru Rudat Yashun Yavartayat. Evam Vilapanti Bhalha Vipinenu Vidhapatim Atita Pariyobatru Rudat Yashun Yavartayat. Evam. Thus, the Lupanti, the mention. Bala, the innocent woman. Vipine, in the solitary forest. Anugata, strictly adherent. Patim, unto her husband. Patita, fallen down. Pariyo, at the feet. Bartu, of her husband. Rudati, while crying. Ashuni, tears. Avatayat, she shed. Translation. That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in that solitary forest. Thus, the tears rolled down from her eyes. Report by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. So actually there are 2 points there. And I'll read the next text, because both of those points in the purport are fully explained in the next purport. So text number 50. Titin Duru Mayim Chitpa Tasham Pachu Kalevaram Adipya Chunu Marane Virapanti Mano Dehe. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Report. It is the long-standing tradition of the Vedic system that a faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Sahamarana. In India, this system was prevalent even to the date of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by her relatives. Formerly, that was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped this practice, considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by his two wives, Madri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wife settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madri would perish with her husband in the fire, and Kunti would remain to take charge of the five Pandava children. Even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to re-establish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciples should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. So, in this verse, there are concepts here that we may not be familiar with in our, you know, current modern society. Because in modern society, people are hesitant to even marry because there's not that level of attachment that I will live with this one person for the whole duration of my life. Currently, you know, under many different excuses, but basically either people don't get married or they marry and leave the back door open. Meaning that, you know, they're always, you know, saying to one another that this may not be, you know, forever. You know, it may be just for now, maybe for some time, but the back door is open. I may leave, you may leave. That's, you know, that is the state. So these concepts are sometimes very difficult for us to understand this absolute devotion. And of course, it shouldn't be confused with the most things in the course of time become corrupted, and so as Prabhupada mentioned that formerly the wife was so devoted to the husband and the husband to the wife that if the husband died before the wife, that living was unbearable for the wife. And entering the fire was actually considered that would be better. The fire burning within the heart of the wife, out of separation, she would not know how she would go through the day, let alone many years. It was unbearable. It was a burning fire that she could not endure. So they would voluntarily enter the fire, and of course whatever destination the husband achieved, they would immediately go to that destination. the husband. Actually, by that chastity alone, the wife was ensured to at least go to the heavenly planets. By that chastity alone, it's such a powerful vow, religious vow. So these things are very difficult for us to understand because we have very little experience of these things. And what experience we have experience of a corrupted version, as in, previously in India during the British rule, they noticed that when the husband died, people from the Indian continent had lost the meaning of the ritual and were performing the ritual without any understanding. And the wife may not have had that attachment to her husband. She would have preferred, I'll go on living. And that would forcibly make her enter, the fire. So the whole thing became, as with most things, corrupted in the course of time. And so, thankfully, the British stopped that practice. They banned that practice. And there are still things that go on in a similar way in India. The dowry is a big issue of contention. Sometimes if the dowry, the bride's parents would give what they could, as a gift to help the bride in her new marriage, that would give what they could. Now, what happens is that sometimes if the parents haven't given enough, then, they set fire to the bride. Yeah. Well, you get not given enough money. And still, it still happens. It's outlawed, but still to this day, these things will happen. There are actually, I've seen documentaries about this, there are many, many homes and hospitals filled with hundreds of women, all scarred, being burnt, by angry husbands. We didn't get enough, dowry and a bride's hand. So there are many different distortions of this. So it needs a little explanation. And similarly, what to speak of, the spiritual understanding, because the spiritual understanding, this section here is dealing with, it is an analogy, and the analogy is underlying the spiritual truths and the spiritual path. And here, the wife, the queen, and the king has passed away. The queen represents the disciple, and the king representing the guru. So here, again, the spiritual, that Prabhupada is mentioning that the disciple has a similar attitude with regard to the spiritual master. And that is even more difficult to understand. So that also needs explanation. And, of course, going back to the example of the wife and the husband, we would have to understand what a loving relationship there was between the husband and the wife, that the wife would be so devoted that could not bear her existence without. So the husband is very qualified, is very reciprocal. Not that she couldn't wait to get rid of him, couldn't wait for him to die. It's that she felt that there was a loving exchange there. And similarly, with the guru, the disciple feels that there is a loving exchange. Actually, it's a very interesting example here of spiritual life, because what it also shows is how personal the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is. Very, very personal. And therefore, even for those on the spiritual path, in an impersonal way, without an understanding that the absolute truth is personal, and that we living entities have an eternal loving relationship with the personality of Godhead, even those on the spiritual path would also have a difficulty in understanding this example. Because, you know, Prabhupada once, when he was along the banks of the Ganges, he got one of his disciples, sannyasi disciples. Prabhupada leant on his shoulder, and took his arm to get down to the bank of the Ganges. And when he got down to the bottom, then he pushed his disciples away. And his disciples were shocked. And he said, this is how the Mayavadis deal with their guru, or God, is that they take use from the guru, and then after taking use from the guru and considering themselves liberated, they then reject the guru. Because in their conception of the spiritual world, there is no guru-disciple. Everything is one. That aspect to them is considered something which exists in the material world. Maya. So even they cannot understand these examples. This is the example itself shows the very personal nature of our philosophy. And so Srila Prabhupada, he's saying that the disciple says, similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. So it's not expected, Prabhupada, the way he's presenting this purport, it's not expected that the disciple will want to, should give up their life when the spiritual master leaves this world. In fact, I'll try say that again in a very clear way. If the spiritual master leaves his body, do not give up your body. I'll make it very clear. Okay, any questions? Good. That's not what we're saying. Because sometimes, in the course of ISKCON, some people have given up their life, committed suicide in the name of thinking there is something in our philosophy that it encourages that. But there is nothing in our philosophy to encourage anyone to ever voluntarily give up their life. And that's very important, we're stating that. So that's not what this purport is saying. Actually, it's stated in the 10th canto, we get the example of Vasudev, that when Vasudev was his wife, Devaki, was about to be killed by Kamsa, Vasudev tried everything within his means to protect his wife and, of course, to also protect himself. Kamsa had heard an omen that the eighth child of Vasudev and Devaki would actually kill Kamsa. That was the prophecy. He heard from the prophetic voice of the demigod speaking that. And so he's immediately, both Vasudev and Devaki, their lives were a threat. And first of all, Kamsa wanted to kill Devaki. And we see there that it is one's duty to actually, as far as possible, protect one's life and the life of others. That is actually the duty. That is the example even of Krishna's father. If one, to one's full extent, tries to protect one's life and the life of others, if somehow or another that person cannot save their life, then there is no fault. But one should never ever not perform that duty of trying to protect one's life, protect the life of others. So what Prabhupada is saying is that a disciple may be so saddened at the loss of his spiritual master that you know, they may feel that what is the use of life without the spiritual master? But what we understand that in the spiritual master's presence, we follow both the vapu and the vani. We take association with the spiritual master's physical presence, and we also take association with the spiritual master through his following his instructions. When the spiritual master leaves this world, we get the same association with the spiritual master, 100% association, by following his instructions, by hearing his instructions and following that is vani. So actually the presence of the spiritual master is fully present. And again, so one tries to fulfill the mission of the spiritual master. And by fulfilling the mission of the spiritual master, always being connected with the instructions of the spiritual master, one always feels the strong presence. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. And Prabhupada puts it that way. Without the spiritual master, we should be prepared to die. Or in other words, in executing the order of the spiritual master, one should be prepared to lay down one's life. And of course, we have seen, you know, within the Hare Krishna movement and even in the lives of our previous acharyas and their followers, that actually many devotees have laid down their lives in the course of trying to fulfill the mission of the spiritual master, because the mission of Srila Prabhupada is to help people to understand their eternal relationship with the personality of Godhead Krishna, because forgetting our eternal relationship with Krishna is the root cause of all sufferings in this world. So in some of the communist countries, you know, some of the women, some of the men were captured by government authorities, tortured, some killed, you know, in many different ways, many different, you know, devotees have literally sacrificed their life to spread Krishna consciousness sometimes in very dangerous circumstances. Or, not having sacrificed their life, they sometimes copped a fair beating. And, have you? So, but they were prepared. They were prepared. I have godbrothers who are in that situation, almost beaten to death. And so, just trying to chant Hare Krishna for the benefit of others. So that's the actual purport of that. And now, therefore, we see that in the Bhagavad Gita, this philosophy is there in the Bhagavad Gita, in verse 241. Uh,
The other said, Mikabudhi eke kuru nandana bhagvasakya nantascha buddhayagyasayanam.
Those who are resolute on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. A beloved child of the Kuru's intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. And Srila Prabhupada says that in the purport, a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. So that, as we said, that intelligence, that by helping people revive their Krishna consciousness, you solve all the problems of the world. But that Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says in the purport, service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna. One should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti the Core instructs us in his famous prayers to the spiritual master as follows: Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi, jayam stivam stashaya sastri samjam, vande garoshi charana ravindam. By the satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy three times a day and offer my respectful obeisances under him, my spiritual master. So, now this Yavasatmika intelligence, or single-minded intelligence, is practiced under the spiritual master. So here we see that the personality of Godhead comes down to establish religious principles of religion. So his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. So Krishna, he appeared 5,000 years ago, and he appeared to demonstrate, here is the personality of Godhead. There may be so many speculative understandings. What is God? Is God in person? When God appears, is he simply under the laws of material nature, perhaps in goodness like others? Is there no God? Is God dead? Does God look like this? Does God look like that? So Krishna appeared to establish both vijnana, realized knowledge, and to refute speculative knowledge. So when Krishna appears, he says, here I am. This is God. His body is satchidananda vigraha. It is composed of, it is completely spiritual by nature and does not operate under any of the laws of material nature, not sattva, rajas, or tamas. And his spiritual body is filled with unlimited potencies and unlimited unlimited opulences of strength, intelligence, beauty, fame, renunciation. Anyway, there's six of them. So when Krishna appears, he establishes, this is what the realized scriptures say is the nature of God. He is satchidananda vigraha, he is spiritual, and here I am in the spiritual body to show that yes, God actually exists, and this is how a spiritual body acts. I will marry 16,108 wives. I will live with them. I will expand in 16,108 forms and live with each one in a different palace, and each palace itself rivals anything that has ever been seen on earth or in the heavenly planets. And these 16,000 palaces, along with my whole kingdom, will be created resting on the ocean. So now, and that just removes all doubt. Who is God? What is God? What are his activities? Like that. And it establishes vijnana, or realized knowledge. The scriptures are saying God is like that. And when he appears, yes, God is exactly like the scriptures are saying. Now Prabhupada says in the purport that the Lord comes to establish such religious principles that are there, the realized spiritual teachings, vijnana, and to refute speculative knowledge, and his representative comes to establish the same. So in such a way as when Krishna appears, we understand this is God, and here are the religious principles. When the Guru comes, we understand, oh, this is Guru, and this is not Guru. The scriptures say Guru has these qualities, and we see that here, this is what we see. And so, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to establish this Sankirtan movement and to proclaim Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also sent his devotee, such as Srila Prabhupada, to show the actual nature of the spiritual master who will propagate the mission of the Sankirtan movement to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. So such a person as Prabhupada hadn't appeared, we would actually never really know what a real guru is, to some degree or another. Especially because Srila Prabhupada, after the godbrothers of his spiritual master somewhat spoiled the disciplic line and quarreled among themselves, Srila Prabhupada then single-handedly took the teachings of Krishna consciousness and spread it all over the world, including India. And therefore, the whole world has the opportunity, by studying the teachings and the history and the activities of Srila Prabhupada, what is actual Guru. So you see from Srila Prabhupada what is actual Guru and who is actually his personality of Godhead. So, now, therefore, and Srila Prabhupada in his books, because he is the one person, the only person who literally travelled all over the world and presented Krishna consciousness and fully established the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his books, it is understood that he was selected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for this position, and his position is paramount, or the Adiguru, or the founder acharya of ISKCON, and that, as Prabhupada said, his books will be the law books of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness going into, way into the 10,000 years. So for all of us, for everyone will always come under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, that he is the Shiksha Guru, the principal in the Sankirtan movement known as ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada's teachings are the teachings that we follow and which appear in his books. All the gurus in ISKCON, all the teachers, all the authorities, all teach the same philosophy, and that is the philosophy presented by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is established in Srila Prabhupada's books. And so, for all of us, developing that attachment, as mentioned in these verses, to Srila Prabhupada, that attachment
allows us to become Krishna consciousness. As mentioned in the purport of Bhagavad Gita, is that Tom? As mentioned in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 241, and in Bhishmanath Chakrabarti, the course prayers, that only by satisfying the spiritual master can one come to the plane of Krishna consciousness and not otherwise. Therefore, all of the teachers in ISKCON are helping us to understand the teachings presented by Srila Prabhupada. And by doing so, all of us develop an attachment both to Srila Prabhupada as the it is his teachings, his examples we are following throughout ISKCON. So all of us will develop that attachment to Srila Prabhupada, and all of us will develop attachment to the wonderful devotees who are helping us to understand the teachings and the activities of Prabhupada. So we develop attachment to both to Srila Prabhupada, and we develop attachment to both those devotees who help us to understand the teachings. And the teachings of Srila Prabhupada are such that we're meant to practically implement them in our life. That's the unique feature of Krishna consciousness. That in the 27 days a week, in the 24 hours in our day, we can actually take those teachings and implement them in a practical way in our life. So here, in this verse, as we were saying, some people may take these verses in the wrong way. Well, my spiritual master has left, perhaps I should, leave my body. People, as we said, people have done some silly things in the course of time, misunderstanding, there's sections in the teachings where Vilva Mangala Thakur, because he was so disturbed by seeing that his eyes were looking for the beautiful form of the Maya, that he plucked out his own eyes. God forbid anyone should follow that example. So the practical application of Prabhupada's teaching, we also learn from Prabhupada. Very important, his teachings and how they're practically applied. Those devotees who help us to understand that and practice it, they also, we become very attached to them as well. Naturally. That attachment develops. If it's not there immediately, there is a process by which we develop that attachment. So, to give an example of an immediate attachment, actually, Srila Prabhupada said, when he first met his spiritual master, and he said, actually, at that time, within his heart, the initiation was there. Just that first meeting, he said, at that time, is it formally that came later? He said, that time, and he said, why? Why is that? Because I accepted him fully with my heart. So because he accepted him fully, the attachment was immediately there. Therefore, in essence, that was initiation. Nor should we imitate that. But the, the formal initiation he also took to teach us also. It must be there. You cannot just, otherwise we don't know who's got some sentimental thing. They're claiming to be attached, but perhaps they're not. So, another example of that immediate attachment is the example of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I'll just read this very short pastime of when he met his spiritual master and took initiation. So this is from Lives of the Vaishnava Acharyas, the Great Vishnu.
On June 22nd, 1914, at the Bhaktivedan in Calcutta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur performed his pastime of disappearance. His samadhi was established at Sri Svananda's Sukhanda Kunj on December 27, 1914. At this time, Siddhanta Sarasvati, so he wasn't initiated then, took up the work of publishing Sajjana Toshani and other books which had been left unpublished by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. On November 17, 1915, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj left the mortal world on the Utkana Ekadasi.
No, I've got my phone. There's my bookmarks here. I have two bookmarks. Sorry about that.
No.
Way up there. Here we are, page 15. Siddhanta Sarasvati had been engaged in regularly chanting the Maha Mantra and in the Srimad Mantra given to him by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was in the seventh class, and he had been worshipping the Korma deity discovered in laying the foundation of the Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta since the age of seven. Without fail, he had been executing that worship and chanting since his boyhood, and from 1885 onward, he had received special training in printing, editing, etc. at the press of, at the Bhakti Bhavan. Thus, the young man was a very qualified candidate for becoming the disciple of a guru. Many pseudo-gurus, mantra peddlers, of the Sahaja category, wanted to have him as their disciple to increase their false prestige. After all, Siddhanta Sarasvati was a magistrate's son. He was a strict renunciate from birth. He was learned and deeply attached to the scriptures. But Siddhanta Sarasvati was not interested in such pretenders. In 1898, after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had constructed his residence in Navadvipa at Godrumadri and called it Svananda Sukhada Kunj, and some time after the discovery of Lord Chaitanya's birth site by the Thakur and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji arrived in Navadvipa to see the site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth and to hear the discourses of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When he arrived, he was singing in ecstasy. His only possessions were the Tulasi Mala, which he wore around his neck, and another set he kept in his hand for counting. He kept a few books, such as Narottam Das Thakur's works, Pratana and Pramabhakti Chandika. Gaurakishore Das Babaji had been performing bhajan for many years in Vrindavan. He was extremely renowned and was the disciple of Bhagavat Das Babaji, the disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. He was not well educated and had been a grain merchant in his previous existence, but it was widely known that he was a liberated Paramahamsa of the highest caliber in the area of Brajamandala. At the time of his arrival, he was wearing a cap made of tiger skin and was carrying a basket of various items and materials for his service. He spotted Siddhanta Sarasvati and offered him four or five pieces of knotted rope for chanting rounds, a tilak stamp with the initials for Hare Krishna, the tiger skin cap and paraphernalia for worship. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj had received the basket and cap from his spiritual master, Bhagavat Das Babaji. Siddhanta Sarasvati was very attracted to Gaurakishore Das Babaji's lotus feet at first sight. He was later to comment with great humility. So this is from first sight, this is what he later commented back to Siddhanta. I have been busy within this material world trying to bring sense gratification within the grasp of my hand. I have often thought that by obtaining the objects of sense gratification, all my shortcomings will be fulfilled. I often attain different facets that were indeed very rare, but my own personal shortcomings were never mitigated. In this material world, I have had the association of very high-class aristocratic persons. However, Seeing their various deficiencies, I could not offer them praise. The most merciful Supreme Lord Sri Gaurasundara, seeing me in such a lamentable condition at such a time of adversity, gave permission to his two dearest devotees, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, to grant their blessings to me. Because I was always intoxicated with a worldly false ego, wanting again and again self-appraisal, I deprived myself of my own real benefit. But because of the influence of my previous births' activities in devotional service, I came into the association of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the form of my spiritual well-wisher. My spiritual master, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, would go and visit Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and many times would reside with him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, out of his compassion for other living entities, pointed out my spiritual master, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji. Upon seeing my spiritual master, the extent of my worldly false ego diminished. I knew that all the other living entities who had taken the human form of life were also fallen and low like myself. But by gradually observing the spiritual character of my master, I realized that only a Vaishnava could reside in this material world and be of exemplary character. That was his impression. So then the story goes on. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's urging, the young man approached Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji for initiation in the month of Magh in the year 1900. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji expressed reluctance to accept him, knowing Siddhanta Sarasvati to be a great scholar. Finally, when Siddhanta Sarasvati pleaded with him for initiation, Guru Kishore Das Babaji replied, "Mahaprabhu will be asked. If he gives permission, your desire will be fulfilled." On another day, Siddhanta Sarasvati approached him and again asked, "What was Mahaprabhu's order?" Guru Kishore Das Babaji replied, "I forgot to ask." The third time, Babaji Maharaj was requested, he replied, "I asked, I did not receive the command of Mahaprabhu." Siddhanta Sarasvati then stood up, his heart breaking, and said, "You, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Guru Kishore, are both worshippers of Krishna, the crest jewel of devotees. Therefore, why will you take mercy on someone dedicated to ordinary morality like me?" In his pastimes, as the exemplary teacher, Mahaprabhu has given instructions on the worship of Krishna, the crest jewel of devotees. Therefore, why will he give the command to take mercy on me? But karuna na haile kandiya kandiya kana na rakibe ada. If there is no mercy, weeping and weeping, I can sustain my life no more. If I do not receive your mercy, I do not see any need in holding on to life. And thus indicating his readiness to take his life, Siddhanta Sarasvati began to cry. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji's heart was melted to see this, so he told him to take bath in the Sarasvati and then come back to him. At the time of initiation, he gave Siddhanta Sarasvati the name Sri Vaishnavi Devi Daitai Das. This pastime bears a striking resemblance to the relationship between Narottam Das Thakur and Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami was also an extremely humble and renowned Paramahamsa who was reluctant to take in the disciples, considering himself unqualified, but finally accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his only disciple. It shows how eager and determined one must be for the mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. And of course, that's what we take from this. Not that we should be running around trying to jump off bridges, but we should show that single-minded determination
And within our hearts we should have that mood that what value does this life have if I cannot have the mercy of the actual representative of the personality of Godhead, and as described in the purport to verse Bhagavad Gita verse 241, one should have a living spiritual master. You know, it describes there that the spiritual master knows how to guide this disciple. And so, coming in the line from Srila Prabhupada, those personalities who very expertly are able to present the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the what we should learn from Prabhupada's activities, we should take from such persons guidance from a living shiksha or diksha guru, both, and in this way take that as our life and soul. How do we develop such attachment? We develop such attachment as we become more familiar with the spiritual master, with Krishna. We understand that they have given something which is an incomparable gift of eternal blissful life to us who are unqualified for such a gift. And naturally, when we come across persons of such compassion in this world, we have in this world, because of the coronavirus in Australia, we have a toilet paper issue. There's no compassion. All the poor elderly people and people who have some difficulty, who cannot fight their way through to the toilet paper aisles, they're just going to miss out. Even though they may be more qualified to have it. Some people have urgent need for toilet paper. But here, so in the world you'll not find anyone like the spiritual master and who will risk their life to give Krishna consciousness to others who may not even be qualified to accept that. So it's natural if once we get to understand the glories of the spiritual master, actual spiritual masters who follow the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one would naturally become very attached to them. And if we become attached to their instructions, then even if they leave this world, then we will feel their full presence within their instructions, and in this way our life will be successful. So I'm just going to leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
I heard Adarani say the other day that the next world chariot will be a woman. No? What do you think about that statement?
Well, we already have a world chariot, don't we? What's that?
What do you think about that statement?
Well,
it's a divine concept.
Yeah.
And he has rules.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we already have a world of chariot.
Yeah. It struck me as being slightly offensive that there's this notion that there's going to be another world of chariot.
Yes.
As good as Prabhupada. Whereas the prediction is that there will be the Sena Pati Bhakta who comes. And it disturbs me because it kind of makes Prabhupada's position, it diminishes his position as the preeminent Siksha Guru, the founder of Charya at this time.
Yes.
And I don't think that role or that position can be easily duplicate for anyone, little to bad, male or female.
I was giving the example at the beginning of class that when Prabhupada was in Mayapur and there was one sannyasi devotee, and Prabhupada went down to the bank leaning on that disciple taking his hand, and then when he got down he pushed him away and he said, this is the impersonalist mentality, you know, that they take advantage of the guru and then when they got what they want then they reject them. And of course the interesting thing is, the only way someone, although you know it won't happen, but the only way someone can actually become an acharya is that they actually take the help from Srila Prabhupada. They will study his books, they will take advantage of his movements, take everything that he has given so that they can become a guru, and then becoming a self-proclaimed world guru, they have done it by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and then rejected him. And it's the same philosophy. Prabhupada's response to that is the story of the tiger and the mouse, which, you know, is a very nice story. And that we will see, you know, that will play out many times. There's no doubt that people will want to take those positions, but this will be the story that we tell before and after those events, and that is that there was a little mouse who approached a great powerful yogi because the mouse was being chased by a cat. And so the yogi, who could understand the mouse, what do you want? So, you know, the yogi's meditating in the cave. I'm being chased by this cat. What do you want then? I want to be a strong cat. Become a cat. So he transformed him into a cat. Cat went away. Comes back later. What do you want? I'm being chased by dogs. What do you want? I want to become a dog. Become a dog. Goes out, big dog. Comes back. Now I'm being chased by, what's it, the next one? Bigger dogs or something?
Jackals
or something. So, what do you want? I want to become tiger. Become a tiger. So then the tiger is sitting there looking at the yogi, the guru, eyes, licking his lips. What do you want? I want to eat you. Oh, again become a mouse. Squeak, squeak, squeak. That is the only thing that will happen. So, you know, from world of chariot to mouse, that will become. But we have, you know, when I was on the farm, there was a very famous guru who, although claimed to, you know, teach from the same books as Srila Prabhupada, etc., was always undermining Srila Prabhupada's stature. And so, when some of the members of the farm said to me, oh, he's doing a seminar, you know, over the weekend, right next to the farm, let's go see him. And I immediately felt unchanged, you know, immediately when they said that, I said, why do I want to see him? I said, it's like, you know, saying that to me is like if someone says to the wife or the husband, you know, so she's married, she loves her husband, and someone, the neighbour's coming, oh, there's a nice man moved into the neighbourhood, come and see. And the wife's thinking, what? There's nothing to look at. There's no interest. You know, it's just unchaste for even to be inquisitive like that. So, here we have this philosophy here, how, you know, one is, you know, the proper mood of love and attachment to the spiritual master is one is prepared to die, but we cannot invent a new philosophy where we want the spiritual master to disappear. It's a whole different philosophy. This is the actual teaching. Yeah. But, yeah. Well, let's leave it there. So thank you very much for your comments. Hare Krishna.